Turn to Joshua 1, would you?
We all have moments, you know, good and bad. We all have moments, Joshua moments, really. Today is one of mine. So before we get into our text, we will read from Joshua 1. So you can understand why today, for some of you, will be a hard day. And why I don't care. It's not my job to make you feel good about your error. My job to make you feel bad about it. I've already read your scripture telling you God loves you, so you can move on from that, right? You got it. First 11 verses out of Joshua chapter 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, and he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said to Moses. Now, I'm going to stop a minute. That's a law. We talked about law Wednesday night. That's a law, if you believe that. But it's a transferable law. If you want to go hang out with stupid people, then that's your ground. You want to go to bad places, then that's your ground. That's your inheritance, you fool. But if you allow God to give you the place where your feet step on godly ground, that is a righteous inheritance. Amen? From the wilderness, verse 4 says, and this Lebanon even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book, says verse 8, of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, and he said, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And this chapter ends with this: whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. But you go ahead and be strong and of good courage. Nobody is going to die today, not really. But there's a portion of some of you that's got to go, and we aren't leaving until it's gone. It's interesting that obedience here is measured out with such severity. And in knowing that, the Lord, he simply tells Joshua, folks are going to die, but you know what? Just be strong. Be of good courage. Go ahead, obey. Well, today I am strong and I am of good courage. You will be too when we are done. There are four general meanings for smoke in the Word of God. It's appropriate that I talk to you about smoke, since for the next week or two, you'll be reminded of this sermon and what smoke means. In California, we are covered with ash and smoke, and some of us fire. The four general meanings for smoke is: one, It's coming from God as judgment seeking justice. There's no mercy involved in that. It's time to judge, period. Now, don't misunderstand, God's a God of mercy. If it wasn't for mercy, we wouldn't be here. But God doesn't expect us to curl up in the fetal position and beg for mercy all of our life. He expects us to stand up and be warriors and be ambassadors for his glory and his honor. Amen? It's time to get up. Or stay in the crib. Just let the guy next to you know, I want to stay in the crib. They'll buy you pacifiers and whatnot. You'll be all right. You'll be a weak guy, and that's okay. No one will ever count on you for anything because they can't. Because you didn't do the work to get out of the crib. You ever see a baby, most kids, now not every kid, and with the kids that don't do this, it doesn't mean they're mental or anything, but most kids want to get out of the crib. You know, they jump out, they scale out, they figure out how to get out, they get stuck in the rails. Their whole mission in life is to get out of the crib, most of them. Some are just content there, and that's fine, but a big majority of babies want out of that thing. Well, why? Because there's the next thing coming. There's the next thing coming. Two, the other is surrounding God as his glory. Some smoke in the word of God. It surrounds God and it is a representation of his glory. The third meaning is simply smoke. It's just smoke. Call it special effects. Call it whatever you want. Annoying, thick smoke. It often symbolizes something, but we're not really quite sure half the time what it does mean. But basically, it just means there's smoke. It's got a mission of its own. Now, the fourth type of smoke here is referred to as angry vapor. A portion of dust that has added to the smoke. Now, I want to add a fifth element, and actually this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. The fifth element of smoke is directly from Satan. It comes up out of a portion of hell. It is called the abyss. It represents itself as a deception to the people. This smoke comes to deceive. That's its purpose. It's cloudy. You get a headache. You can't think right. It's a deception. It's this kind of smoke that I want to talk to you about. Before we do, I want to cover a couple things. The Proverbs says in chapter 23, verse 7, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." Next month's spiritual warfare training, I'm going to get to a little bit in. We're going to do a case study, and we're going to get into some revelation. This morning, because I am talking about revelation, it's responsible for me to give you a clear view of the book of Revelation up until the point where we're going to read this morning in Revelation chapter 9. Now, depending on whether you're a pre-tribber or a mid-tribber, meaning some people believe we're going before the tribulation, some people think we're going up to heaven in the middle of the tribulation, and it doesn't matter what you think, because what you think doesn't matter. You know, that's not a prayer you can pray. Jesus doesn't have anything to do with it. That's right, sister. Yeah, just hang in there. Be ready, okay? Don't sit and argue about stupid stuff. It makes you stupid, okay? So it doesn't matter. Think what you're going to think. We don't really care. But Scripture is clear, in case you are wondering, that the church is raptured somewhere between Revelation 3 and 6. Now, I want to talk about a tactic of the enemy this morning that is a foundational trademark of Satan's. At a very strategic time in the earth, in the existence of the earth, he could use any of his weapons, and he'd be smart to use his best one. And as much as we call him a fool and a loser and an idiot, hey, he's smart. So he will use his best one. He used his best one in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. He used his best one, his best tactic, when he convinced a third of the angels to jump ship with him way back when. You know what a fast talker he'd have to be? You know how good he'd have to be at pride and deception? to convince one-third of heaven's armies to forsake the King of Glory. Well, he did it. He's that good. Who are you? Who am I? He's good at this thing we're talking about today, which is deception. Now, before we get to Revelation 9, I want to brief you on a few things that have gone on before. Now, remember, the devil used deception at every key moment of history where he felt he needed to win. There was a lot at stake, and so he would use deception. In the end of time, at the end of the millennial reign, he would also use this technique many years from now. And he would convince almost half of the world's population to go with him and rebel against God. And they do, and they're done. Deception's a treacherous thing. It's a terrible thing. Now people wander around, you know, they kind of drives me nuts a little bit. They want to label things, you know. The spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of, you know, what other dude, you know, somebody doesn't give. You're like, you have the spirit of Ananias and Sapphira. No, you don't. You're just sinning. I had a call one time from a woman driving down the 99. She pulled over and was screaming at me. I had only met her one time, many years earlier. But she was part of a false work who carried on about spirits, weird stuff. Look it. Keep it clean. Is the enemy? There's you. There's Jesus. You choose this day who you will serve. Don't get fancy. So she calls me up and she says, the serpent is choking me. I go, well, where are you? I'm in my car. You're driving? What? How did it get out? She goes, well, it's when I was at my brother's house. I'm like, well, pull over. I did pull over. Well, what kind of snake is it? The spirit of the serpent. I said, there's no such thing as a spirit of the serpent. There's a spirit of the devil. There's a spirit of the Lord. You've got yourself full of pride by needing to know all these fancy things that you're creating. Knock it off. You're on the road to lose your salvation talking like that. You're going to go to the nut house. Right, DJ? She probably in the crazy house hears a lot of people talk about snake spirits and whatnot. There's no effective good for you. The Bible says those are foolish questions and they produce ungodliness. Let it go. All right? Get that out there right in the beginning. People will come along, deliverance ministry. They want to talk about it while you're casting demons to hell. They're still having a seminar. After the present church age in Revelations 2 and 3, the Bible says, the voice I had first heard, I will show you what must take place after this. Okay, I'm recapping some of Revelation before we get in to what I'm going to talk about, because it's right to do. As I said, the rapture of the saints typically understood to come somewhere between 3 and 5, 6, 7 if you want to stretch. Beginning of the tribulation, 7 years. This is the opening of the six seals. Now, at this time, one-fourth of the population of the world is wiped out. That's Revelation 6, chapter 8. The seven seals go like this. From chapter 6, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. And then it goes forward after these things. Revelation 7, 1. It's basically a parenthetical portion detailing the sealing, which is very important, of the 144,000 Israelite soul winners who win multitudes to Christ. But they are murdered sometime during the midpoint of the tribulation in chapter 7. When he had opened the seventh seal, John says, I saw the seven angels who stand before God. And seven trumpets were given to them. It's a magnificent handoff, if you can just imagine it. Before we go any further, you must understand, Revelation is a love letter. People get hung up on, you know, the 666, yeah, there's that. And the death and the coming and the beast, yeah, there's that. But the book of Revelation is mainly about one thing: God drawing his people back to him. Because he loves them so much. And you see God restrain himself. And the people find the Lord. And God rejoices. And then the Bible says, they backslid. So then God brings out another plague. He opens another seal. He sounds another trumpet. All for one reason: to bring them back, bring them back, bring them back. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ wants nobody to go to hell. God didn't design hell for you. He designed it for Satan and everybody that agrees with him. It's the day and age where the smallest thing would chip away at your spiritual constitution. The fifth, Revelation chapter 8. That's, we get a lot of woes going on there. The first through the fourth angels sound the trumpets in chapter 8. The fifth and sixth angels sound their trumpets in chapter 9. One woe is past. 9:12 says, and behold, there come two more woes hereafter. Now, up to this point, there is about a half of the earth's population has been wiped out. That's where we're sitting when we're going to read Revelation 9. This happens all within the first half of the tribulation. Now, imagine that you're the devil just for a moment. You know, it looks like you might be winning this thing, you know? People are dropping off right and left. You're killing the converted Jews. You're like looking like you're on top of things. It's a strategic point in battle. And the devil will be very careful to use the right tool. Very careful. He will develop a military strategy around man's ability to misplace mercy and man's ability to be grossly deceived. He chooses the smoke trick. Of all the gigs he could play, of all the tools he could grab, he chooses the smoke of deception. Now, whenever there is chaos or a standard that seems up for grabs, he will use deception. He's doing it now on the earth. He's doing it now. I know people who, they say they love the Lord, but they're voting for people who approve of abortion. God hates that. How could you be in line with God when you're voting for something he hates? You can't talk them out of it. I'll tell you why, most of them. They had an abortion. And they need to be right. No, they need to be well. You need to be well. We all need to be well. Amen? So we don't make bad decisions based on wounds. That's what the devil's doing. He's deceiving many, and we're going to expose a little bit of that in a particular area this morning. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden. That's what he will do in Revelation 9, which is the most strategic moment for him in the book of Revelation. He's got to get it right. He's very careful about what he'll use. Very careful. The problem with Satan is he does have a virtue. It's patience. He's more patient than we are. He's patient. He'll wait it out. We have to be smarter than that and more careful than that. Now, there's something called noosphere. It's N-O-O-S-P-H-E-R-E. You could look it up if you want to get sick to your stomach, but it's what we're going to talk about today. It's a real thing. It's a terrible thing. It's a thing you're going to not even... If you're involved in it, you don't know it. I'll promise you. If you're involved in it, you don't know it. And when I start to explain it to you, you're going to fight me. It's Halloween all over again. You're going to fight me. You're going to come at me, and you're going to be like, she doesn't know, and this isn't right, and this doesn't hurt anything. Hang in there. Hang in there because you're wrong. It's my job to be right in this. In an hour, ask me a question. I might be wrong. Right now, I'm right. Revelation 9, let's look at the first 11 verses here, and we're going to get started out of the abyss. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, keeping the locusts hungry. And to them it was given, in verse 5, that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented for 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it. They shall desire to die, and death will flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Revelation 9:1, the fifth angel sounds his trumpet, and a star, now this is meaning an angel when it says this, falls down from heaven to the earth. I'm trying not to go on a teaching deep thing with this, but I need you to understand something. The angel is given the keys to the bottomless pit. Some people, or some translations, call this the abyss, and for our purposes today, we do. It is the never-ending abyss, which is a cave-like bottomless pit. Now, this is where this smoke is coming out of upon the earth. It happens in Revelation 9, and it's happening now. Since our world, as we know it here in California, is full of smoke and fire, I thought it would be a good visual to talk to you about this because you might remember it more than a day. Because the point the Lord's having me make today, I was going to make it much later, but I am to make it today, so I do. Once this is opened, it brings forth two things. One, smoke. Two, locust-like creatures that come to torment. Now, stepping that backwards up to modern day, smoke makes it difficult to see clearly, right? What comes out of this pit is hard to see. It's hard to discern. It comes like stealth. And that's why deception is so tricky. My point is simply this. The Bible speaks that in the end times there will be a loosing of evil spirits that will come with deception and to torment mankind. According to the word of God, they cannot hurt those with the seal of God on their head. They can't do it now. They couldn't do it then, and they can't do it in the future because you're sealed unto God. But there's a thing that you could be playing with. You might imagine you're sealed unto God, but if you're playing with the noosphere, you're not, because you're deceived. When we behave as the world, like what Liz spoke of earlier, we open these doors, these bottomless pits, these caves. We unplug them, and the smoke of deception covers our lives. Those of you who are not involved in this, I expect for you to aggressively pray for those who are, and you're saying, what are you talking about? I'm coming. Because of our willful disobedience, because of our self-prescribed weaknesses, we tend often, some of us, most of us, to do whatever it is we want to do. And the enemy gets a chair in our soul. And he's happy to be there as Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf. When we give the devil a chair in our soul, the Lord has to sit down because we have made a choice. I believe these spirits that come out of this smoke come to assault the minds of people. They come to challenge our thoughts, our values, our morals, and our very peace of mind. They have been loosed upon us long ago. There'll be a resurge in the revelation, and every 20 years or so, if you look back on history, there is a resurge. The smoke is an invisible, angry presence of the enemy, and he's got one thing on his mind, and that is to deceive the saints. You might be deceived into thinking you can do what you want, or, you know, you were just raised that way. None of that's true. God doesn't care how you were raised. Obviously, he could have rescued you. He cares about how you end up. He cares that you reach out to him and hold on to him through it all. Listen to this from 2 Peter 2, 4 through 9. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, who is vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, I don't want you to be confused. The mark of the beast is 666. We're not positive how that's going to come, but it will. Man's number is 6. If Fred Isaacson was here, he'd tell you a lot about this. We love Fred and Cheryl. Continue to pray for Cheryl, by the way. Because God created man on the 6th day. And that's where that comes from. God's number is 7. 7 is revered by the Hebrews as God's divine number of perfection. So we have 666, which represents man's attempts to become perfect and be like God, which will never happen because 6 is never going to be greater than 7. I could end there. This is why in the end times I'm only going into this because I don't like to use Revelation 4 text without giving context around it because it's unfair. The number in the forehead is your thoughts, ideologies, and beliefs. There's a reason for this. The number in your right hand represents your work. This is why the mark of the beast will strategically be placed in those places. This is why now an attempt is being made by the world and the enemy to control. I'm coming. You feel me? I'm coming. The world is trying to control your ideologies, your thoughts, your beliefs, and your works like never before. And that's a statement we can actually make and know it's true. This is not a discourse on the book of Revelation. I'm pulling one point out. But it is important that you know what has been, what is coming, so that we can be strong and aggressive against the enemy. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about something that the Lord has directed me concerning modern day behavior and a practice. I don't understand it. I don't pretend to. I'm not involved in that world, but evidently somebody is. So here we go. I will tell you, my son started to do these things a little bit, just a little bit. And I didn't know anything about it except that I knew it offended God. So I told him, "You are Samson. And if you think I'm going to sit around while you let the devil cut your hair, you've got another thing coming." And he snapped out of it. That Samson visual would have stuck with him. What I'm talking to you about, and the reason I've been so gingerly merciful up till now, is because some of you are involved in this thing, and you think it's real. It's not real. It's the reality of the avatar. So you know, an avatar is the incarnation of a Hindu deity. You didn't know that, did you? It is the incarnation of a false god, invisible and or human or inhuman form. It is also the embodiment of a philosophy or concept. The origin of avatar is from the Sanskrit, which is the ancient language of India, and it's not just the avatar at where it takes you, it's where it takes you in the noosphere, which we're going to talk about. My grandson came home from school, and he had his hands like this, and he went like that. "Hi, Grandma." I slapped his hands. I said, "What are you talking about? What are you doing?" "Well, that's just a greeting." I said, "Sit down. That is not a greeting. That is a form of Eastern religion, a namaste, that says, I respect the spirit in you. And guess what? I don't respect the spirit. And that one, and that one, and that one. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, yes, no, for a long time." You don't come up to people and say that. What have you been saying that to? "Everybody, Grandma." "My teacher said, that's a good, you know, that's like welcoming." I said, "You don't welcome stuff." Namaste. Nobody wants to come against it because, you see, it's a nice little person that told you that, isn't it? Pleasant. Pleasant. It's a worm that's getting in. It's a gargoyle of the soul. And it gets worse. And it's planned. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. This is what I'm telling you is true. An avatar means he descends and crosses over. The descent of a deity or a supreme being comes to earth. It's an incarnation. It's a manifestation of a demon. And Christians are playing games with these. But that's really not even what I'm talking about. We're on a road now. You feel the train moving? All right. Avatars are about the reincarnation of an old deity. I'm not talking about emojis. Don't, like, look for your Depends. Don't, like, freak out. We're not talking about emojis. Okay? You're all saying, I'm not talking about emojis. That's a cartoon. That's okay. You're going to make it. We're good. I appreciate the fact you're willing to give it all up. I could feel that. But no. An avatar is a deity or spirit that is looking to inhabit human form or body. It's a demon. Their philosophy, or even an object to take it on to their own. They come to desensitize us to demon activity. That's their purpose. The people who created this that was their purpose in the 1990s. That's what they had planned on doing. That's what they've decided to do. And that's what they are doing. In Hindu doctrine, Krishna is quoting as saying, whenever there is a decline of righteousness and a rise in unrighteousness, then I will send forth myself. Avatars are one of the core foundational principles of Hinduism. In Hindu holy writings called Bhagavata Purana, it says that the incarnation of their goddess Vishnu are innumerable, which I've been to India, and they are. She is simply one of a million such gods and goddesses. There's a bunch of names I won't mention. They're sickening. But in Sikhism, an avatar is a deliberate descent of a soul to earth. A reincarnation, as they say, is demon activity. They'll go into cows, people, rocks, basically whatever you can imagine. It starts with the thought of an avatar. In Hindu mythology, an avatar is the descent of a deity to the earth in incarnate form or some other manifest shape. It is basically an incarnation of a god that they want you to play with. And so some of you do. There are many things that open the abyss into our lives, into our homes, into our society. Am I being paranoid? No, I'm not. I know about these things. Unfortunately, I don't talk about all this stuff much because I am a lover of Jesus, man. I just want to talk about Jesus. But sometimes we have to take a pause and turn our ship a little bit. These spirits that are deposited through these avatars in Hinduism, they're called spirit guides. And some of you are sitting there saying, well, it's okay because I don't worship them. Hang in there. Astral or out-of-body projections, automatic writings, Ouija spirit board seances, vision quests, the Enneagram is into this, invoking spirits, visualizations, mind mapping, laws of attraction, hypnosis, every thought of new thought and new age. Before you tighten your grip around these things, you have to remember, I'm asking you to prefer the Lord. And you're holding on to a game. It's going to get worse. We at the RC, you know, we don't participate in stupid stuff. We don't do satanic rituals and call it some weird church thing. We don't do Halloween. We don't do a lot of things. But I've let this go because I didn't feel that I needed to come up on it. But billions with a B of dollars are being spent to develop the noosphere. Started back in the 50s. Now, what's the noosphere? It involves millions of people daily around the world. It involves philosophical concepts that are developed and popularized by what's called a biogeochemist. This guy's name was Vladimir Vernadsky and a couple of the French philosophers who believe that a new state of the biosphere and a planetary sphere of reason must evolve. They did it on purpose. They had a plan. It has gone on. Billionaire after billionaire has kept it going down through the generations, down through the decades, down through the last century. This is all done under the guise of a spiritual awakening. I tell you this because we always hit hard here, and you start trying to hit hard carrying this kind of baggage, you're going to hit yourself, and you're going to end up in trouble. It's done under this guise of awakening and awareness, consciousness, mental activity, which they claim drives us to our further evolution. We've gotten lazy. We got weak along the way. The proponents are trying to create a global mass consciousness. This isn't what I think, it's what I know. I didn't make it up, I know. I've talked to the ones that are doing over the last few decades. They believe that their combined mental efforts can recreate the world and its elements. Up at Bethel Church, they're bit by this, the noosphere. It has taken over, some say, almost half of Christianity. We must control, they say, the seven mountains of the world. Christians have to take over, what is it? Entertainment, media, blah, blah, blah. And then Christ will come back. Well, who are you that you're going to usher Christ back because you're a Christian movie star? What are you thinking? Jesus doesn't need you doing that. He needs you worshiping him. He needs you interceding for the lost. He needs you to get over yourself, right? Yeah. That's what we're doing. Some of these large works and works that are, you know, it's tough what they're doing. Grave soaking and doing weird stuff. It's all from the noosphere. And I promise you, it started out by them playing games, doing stupid stuff. Mega websites such as the Second Life, I think it might be a .com, maybe a .org, but exists where people, and you have to understand, I don't know the population of the world, but billions with a B do this. And they estimate 60% of them are Christians because it's fun. And the Second Life says, you know, they create property, they buy property, they live alternate lives via avatars and a virtual reality world, and they get addicted. They don't know they're proponents of the noosphere. They don't know they are involving themselves in the biogenetics of it. They don't know that, but they're doing it. And slightly, oddly, their walk with God suffers. It's weird. Because a vision of heaven, God would call you to, viewing of an angel from time to time, fades when you can play with an avatar, when you can chase a Pokemon, which is a pocket demon. Some of you don't like that. I don't care. I'm telling you the truth. You can do what you want with it. But these things are addictive. They destroy lives. And they continue to destroy lives. And I'll tell you why. Because counselors do not possess the skills to break this type of cycle of addiction. And it's being caused and created by these activities. Facts and fantasy become blurred. They become indistinguishable. And then you want somebody, they grow up in that and they live in that. And then you want to introduce them to the Spirit of God, to the power of the Holy Ghost. They're scared to death. They can't do it. You want an avatar. Many of the games that people play today have been created by the noosphere and by the noosphere thinkers. They've done this, and they have stated this, to change the minds and work of process in the mind. One of their biggest influences was when they started Pokemon in the 1990s. These influences have now gone many steps further to make this harmless, to make it accepted. If you play these games, this is where the cross is going sideways down your throat. Because you don't want to hear it because you like it. It's fun. Find another way to have fun. You expose your kids to this. You're exposing your kids to the smoke coming up right out of the abyss. And you want them to be warriors for God? You can forget it. They won't know how. I've seen person after person get wrapped up not only in Pokemon, but stupid, these stupid games where you play and you buy characters and you go on and you go on. It ruins their life. Pretty soon they can't work. Pretty soon their spouse isn't desirable because it's not part of the game. Pretty soon they're connecting with people they don't even know that they refuse to witness to because they don't want them to be not on their team and get off their jam. You are giving the best part of yourself accidentally to the devil. So it's my job to tell you, knock it off, man. Knock it off. and what good is it? It's like I had a friend, you know, he was a business acquaintance, really, but I loved him so much. He was a gay man that believed in, reincarnation, of course. And he was a landscaper, so it fit his purposes to imagine he'd come back as a plant or a bird. You know, he was all excited. Well, he lied dying in his bed. And I said, you and I have had many conversations over the last 3 years, and some of them have been quite playful. But you're dying, man. I held his hand and I said, if you're right, we all come back as birds. Goody for us. And let's just say, for the sake of your thinking, that 50% shot at that. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you're going to fry in hell. Are you that sure? Are you as sure about what you think as I am as sure about what I think? In the last 2 hours of his life, he asked the Lord to become his Savior. He got saved and he died. And that's the point that I'm making today. If you're involved in these games and these Pokemons and these avatars and these the things with the noosphere, you're involved in that? Are you willing to bet your life and the life of your children that you're correct? Because you had a feeling that, well, we're okay. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Look at, you're incapable of fighting this. You don't know how. Are you as sure that you are right as I am sure that you are wrong? That's the push of the day. Not everybody's wrapped up in it. Some people are. Some folks that need to get a bigger life in Christ. And you can't allow your kids to get wrapped up in this stuff. It's not Tetris, man. This is something different. Something different. These addictions, the reason that they are so bad, they become addicted. Almost all of anybody who ever plays becomes addicted because it combines their mental efforts with their physical efforts. And they give way to a mass global consciousness. They give way to something bigger than them that they don't know how to fight. Mega websites exist, like I said, for people to create a whole new life, a virtual life. Fact and fantasy are easy to become blurred for those who play these games. If you are playing these games, there is an agenda. It's smarter than you. And you need to stop playing the games. You need to quit it. And today, you're going to repent of it, if you have any sense, and we're going to close that door so you and the generations that come after you will not suffer hell. The man-eating locusts that come from the smoke. In Revelation 9, they're real. Today, they're not seen, but they are just as real. Can't allow ourselves to be deceived. The noosphere has become part of the Princeton Global Consciousness Project to instill the ideals of evolution into generations. You can't teach it all of a sudden, you know. It's got to settle in. It's got to settle in. Avatars are incarnation, like I said, of Hindu deities. And old spirits, they need people to manifest through. I have dealt with enough demons to know why they do what they do, how they do what they do. They're looking for a way in, man. Jesus said, I have come, and the enemy has no part of me. He was saying, devil's going to come, man, like a smoke, like a vapor, like a shadow. And he's looking for a little chink in the armor, a little needle hole. How can I get in? How can I get in? decade goes by and your life's not abundant and you can't figure it out and your kids are screwed up and you can't figure that out either, you'll remember today. You'll remember today. I'll tell you, the noosphere has developed through the evolution of thought and process and being combined with the general and clinical love of Christianity, and that's how it sells itself. It sells itself with love and mercy. The noosphere concentrates on a self-reflective part of the universe and creates a path for the mind to evolve toward culturalism. It is intended to be an integration model of science, evolutionary biology, and religion. Did you hear me? Science, evolutionary biology, and religion. They estimate half the planet's involved in this. I don't know the right statistic of Christianity, but when you look at the NAR religion, the New Apostolic Reformation movement, it's a nightmare what they're doing. And they're involved in the noosphere. And their people will not ever allow you to talk to them about justice or judgment. It all has to be mercy and mercy, love, mercy, love, mercy, love. They act like a bunch of hippies. There's no strength. There's no underbelly. They can't fight. I've been up there, you know. And the enemy just shadows them as they cry out, mercy. The devil bears hard on them, hard on them. They can't get up. This is not the way of Christ. The noosphere is big. And it has increased itself with the New Apostolic Reformation, unfortunately. It surged in the 30s, and they said every 20 years, it will make great strides going forward and secure itself with new and available technology and processes. The year 2020 was promised 20 years ago. Remember Y2K? It was promised, the noosphere made promises, that 2020 would be a planned time of escalation into the noosphere. So imagine the last 10 years, how big these games have gotten. The gamers are, they're gaming, they're big. And they're playing games with people they don't know. And they're coming into unity with people they don't know. They're coming into team with people they don't know. They're wearing that on themselves. They don't know. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they are, and they sure don't know what they're doing. But it's a good time, evidently. And you might tell yourself, well, you're old. You don't know nothing. That's exactly why you should listen to me. Because I pray hard for you. I labored over this for months. I don't like talking like this. I don't like saying this. I'd rather get you in a counseling room and take you to the woodshed and let's deal with the sideways cross in there. Let's make that happen. We can do that. A lot of blood on the wall in that counseling room. We're all right. We could do it. But this was too big. I have to tell it this way because maybe you know somebody and you can pray. Maybe it's you and you've just taken it lightly. Planned time of escalation is now. And you might think, well, go ahead and think that. Go right ahead and think that. You'd be wrong. It's time to change some of the things that we are doing. Out of the bottomless pit is coming delusion. That is after the minds of mankind. Not just the noosphere, but every kind of deception that you might think you've got to hold on something. And some people say, well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Deception, they do, because Jesus forgave. They don't deserve that. Wrong. They do, because Jesus gave. He is your standard. He is your hallmark. He is the one you follow. Amen? There are cases of divorces in the United States. Get this. In legal review that I have paid attention to. They have been granted on the grounds of adultery, and the other women have been virtual women from the noosphere. Now, I don't mean to be gender creepy, but 90% of the people involved in this are men. Why is that? Because the men are supposed to rule the world, that's why. And when they choose to allow their children and they choose themselves to follow the noosphere, to follow an alternate reality, they lose their power here to gain it there. Actual divorce cases that I have followed because of an avatar, because of the noosphere, because of a woman that they created. In the noosphere, you can be whatever you want. There are never any consequences. There are consequences here. It's like the difference between witnessing to your neighbor or going online and finding some guy in Taiwan to witness to. Hey, walk across the street. Anything else is out of hell. I'm almost done. Hang in there. Goody for you. You haven't left. Although I see sheepdogs guiding, watching the door. That's good. Accidentally unplanned. A lot of media technology uses, and you're going to think, but don't let yourself think this. They use hypnotism in the audience, and there's real actual purpose to their plan. It starts slow. It's quite unrecognizable. Hey, do I have a TV? Yeah, I watch TV sometimes. I'm not telling you to throw everything out the window. I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you to use your head. If you're involved in this gaming, you've got to stop it. I am aware of where I am. I am standing behind God's great desk. I am aware of that. This is not theory. This is not conspiracy thinking. These are facts. How you apply them is up to you. I'm not having a conversation with you at some shut-down restaurant and musing. I'm telling you what's true. The spirit of deception is floating about like a vapor, like a smoke. And he'll try to get in however he can. Jesuit priest Desjardins was actually an evolutionarist. He jumped off the wagon. He helped create the noosphere. And I will almost leave you with this. He believed in evolution of mind and encouraged hypnotism of all people to align with the universe. And he said this in an article. Television, computer, and video games are not play activities, since studies on the negative effects of television addiction show that these activities interfere with successful child functioning, and they damage children's health, whereas fundamental play does the exact opposite. Child's play is usually characterized by mind-enlivening imagination, creativity, social cooperation, and physical movement. One tends to be mind-elevating and enlivening, and the other mind-numbing. Therefore, he says, always encourage your child to play in a way that reaches and points them toward the evolution of their mind into the universe, not the old-fashioned way of play. He is a co-creator of the noosphere, which billions of dollars and billions of people are aggressively involved in. Studies connect media hypnotic influence to multiple dysfunctional addictions. Alcohol addictions, promiscuity, drug addictions, violence, abandonment, family breakdowns, debt, countless other things. It's all from something that's trying to get you to line up to something that is not of God. An abyss has been opened. a spiritual door has been unlocked. And I'm telling you, it's wide open. It's a swinging door in one of those old saloon movies. It just keeps swinging and swinging because you're too big of a coward to lock it because you think you have to know something. You think you have to make some high and elevated decision about your life, about something you don't even understand what's manipulating you. Stand, would you? I want to close with Acts 19 before I get in too much trouble. The key connects the spirit world to the mind and pins a way of access for demonic influence and entrance. You have to be careful. These things are beyond you, they're past you. When you figure these things have only been in full function for, really aggressively, for 30 years, what strides they have made, what violence they have arrived at, what demonic infiltration they have achieved. Many of them also, Acts 19, 19 to 20, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. We need to get rid of these things so that the word of God will grow mightily and prevail. Amen? Allow Psalm 91 to fight for you, to comfort you, as the Lord Jesus himself sends his Holy Spirit to do. As you ponder these things, I want to read Psalm 91 to you. They're going to play, and I am going to pray for the men from King Camp next week. Okay, Gary? I dove in a hole here. I can't get out, so. You have involved yourself or allowed your children to be involved, or even your grandchildren. You need to come up. You need to repent. And you need to close the door. You need to say, I'm not doing this anymore, Lord. I close the door, devil. You've got to get out. And I'll have Karen come up and pray a prayer. The Lord has gifted her in that. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to take long. And there's no judgment in this house. But I want you safe, man. I'm not going to visit this again. This is creepy. I'm not talking about this again. You're going to have to figure this out. And I'll tell you something else. If you need more time than right now to think about what you should do, I think you might be ignorant. You are playing with fire, smoke, death by night, tragedy by day. It's not funny. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon thee. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high,
because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. Long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This can only happen to you if you go past yielding and arrive at surrendering. If you've walked far from the Lord, you just, you know, you messed it up a little bit. I'd like you to grab the person next to you and come down here and make it right with the Lord. Can you make it right with the Lord? He loves you. He loves you so much. Those of you who have been unknowingly involved in the noosphere, some of you knowingly have been involved and considered it okay. I'd like you to repent. I'd like you to take it at face value and let it go as we worship. And then I'm going to cut you loose pretty quick. Thank you for laboring and tarrying and not running away. Thank you, Pup.
Now and forever.
If it's a video game where you put yourself into it, it's bad, okay? If it's a video game that you gotta play all the time, then it's bad. I'm not telling you you shouldn't play, you know, a building block game. I understand what year it is. I know it's the 21st century. I do get it. I'm talking about games that remove you from your reality and put you somewhere else. Are we clear? And those of us who are grandparents, better fight like DJ's word. You know what? You better fight like you never have for those grandbabies, because not everybody's teaching them the right way. Continue. Thank you. And if you feel like it's bad, then buddy, it is. Smoke of deception has gotten out on the earth. Hallelujah. Barastanai. Karen, would you come up and close these doors? Hallelujah.
Second Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, that's us, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. The enemy's trying to take our land. He's trying to take our children and our grandchildren, our bloodline, because we are being lazy, lazy, watching TV, not reading the word, not equipping ourselves for battle, not praying over those children and grandchildren, over the lost, over those in our cities and towns that need the Lord. So God, I pray, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, God, for every door that we have opened to the enemy, God, whether it be through these ridiculous games and waste of time. Lord, we don't want to stand before you and instead of hearing, well done, good and faithful servant, here, well, you've spent a lot of time playing video games. God, forgive us for being lazy. That's what it is. It's being lazy and it's not being in the word. God, forgive us, God. We repent. We say, please forgive us, God. Lord, forgive us for these things and being lazy and slothful. God, it says in your word in Proverbs 12:11 that he who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies is foolish. And that word was written thousands of years ago, but it's for today. We cannot chase fantasies, oh God. Wake up your people, Lord. We repent. We say we're sorry, oh God, for every door we have opened to the enemy, God, whether it be through sexual immorality, because that's in those games too, for the occult, for false religion. Lord, we repent for the generational sins of those that went before us that have been involved in things such as witchcraft and things that are not of God. It clearly says in the Word that this is against you, oh God, and we have sinned against you, Lord. Oh God, Lord, we repent for addictions and drugs. And Lord God, we close these doors by the blood and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're sealed, and God, we pray, Lord God, that you would help us to keep them closed. We choose to follow you. We choose to hide your word in our heart, God, and we choose not to sin. We choose not to be lazy or foolish. Oh God, we cover our children and our grandchildren, Lord, that they can become what you have called them to be, God. And for each one here at this altar, God, I pray that they will come to know you in such a way they have never known you before, God. And they will take a stand for righteousness and holiness and purity, oh God. And we will not be part of the world. Lord, your word says in James 4 that friendship with the world is hatred towards God. And many of these sins and open doors are spiritual adultery. We will not partake of that. We will not partake of the world. Lord, your word says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Lord, we want to see you, God. We want a pure heart, God. We want to be a people that guard our hearts, God, that does not let any trash or garbage in by what we see or what we say or what we hear or what we do. God, we purpose to follow hard after you, Lord. We purpose to prefer the Lord Jesus Christ and everything we say, do, hear, God, in every action of our lives, oh God. Create in us a clean heart, oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like you to repeat after me. Every good wedding has words, amen. Every good commitment has vows. I'm going to ask you to forsake those things, repent of those things. And I'm going to ask you to enjoy the forgiveness of the Lord. Because the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, the Lord is sure and able to forgive us. And we are a forgiven people today. But we need our mind turned. So we'll do that right now. Repeat after me, dear Jesus, I repent for involving myself in things that are not of you. I apologize, Lord. I got swept away, Father, and I'm sorry. And devil, I belong to Jesus. And I close this door by the power of Jesus Christ. And I command you to go. And I cast down addiction. And I cast down every desire that these games and activities have brought in my life. Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. I walk out of this place free. Free indeed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be not condemned, but be heartily convicted. Amen. Praise God for you. Let's worship if we can. I appreciate you. I'm proud of you. I've been praying for you. These kind of things are hard because it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. But it is a big deal. And if you've got this going on in your house and someone doesn't agree with you, I've got one thing to tell you. Make their life miserable!
You have been listening to Reverend Sandy Kareem of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about Reverend Kareem or this ministry, please visit our website at therevivalcenter.info.